Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here, as always, with the two bestest friends a guy could ever hope for in the entire world, unless they had girly parts and they might be a tiny bit better, but I digress. Randy, Justin, is surgery in your future? Would you be willing to do that for me? Randy, you first.
If you paid me enough, I would do damn near anything.
Define enough.
I don't know, like $5 and a cheeseburger?
Done. Okay, I guess I got my weekend planned for me. Justin, what about you? What's up?
I think you like me more as a boy.
I think
I can touch all your pleasure places better with the parts I was given.
That's true. So when I get bored of Randy with an eye, I can go to
you. Yeah, this is true.
Just think, Randy, how awesome is that? If you transitioned, you wouldn't have to even change your name, just the spelling.
That's true.
But I guess one of the benefits of transitioning is you get to pick a new name, right?
That is true.
Only if you don't like, I mean, if you really don't like who you were previously.
You could be Rhonda.
Ooh, there you go. I like it.
I think the rule is you have to have the same first initial.
Yeah, I think that.
I feel like that became a thing somehow.
Well, that way your initials are the same. So, like, all your legal documents that you've had to initial, they're still binding.
Oh.
And your vowels.
I see.
Yeah,
I never realized that. I just thought it was just for funsies.
I think it is. I just made that up. But it sounds it sounds real enough, right?
Yeah, it does.
I sold you on it.
I believed it. I was like, all right, fair enough.
Well, speaking of things that have transitioned, what about this Fantastic Beast nonsense? Are you guys getting pumped now that it's almost here, Justin?
No. In fact, I just tweeted about this. I was under the impression that I loved all things Harry Potter, but after watching another trailer for this movie, I'm not sold. I have zero interest in Fantastic Beasts. I'm not feeling it at all. You might have to tell me how good or bad it is. I think I might just sit this one out.
I think you'll enjoy it. Like, I mean, not that I've seen it yet, but it looks to me from the marketing that they're trying to be very coy with what they're showing and what they're not showing. Like, they're really playing up like the fantastical elements of like the creatures and stuff, but people have seen it. Like, their notes to people is to brush up on your Deathly Hallows knowledge. And, you know, we saw flashes in one of the trailers about Grindelwald. So I'm hoping that this five movie series turns into like young, I almost said Gandalf, young Dumbledore and Grindelwald. Which I think would be cool. What about you, Randy? Would you be interested in a more in-depth relationship? Because, you know, they were lovers.
That would be super cool. I mean, whatever kind of love relationship they have notwithstanding, I would love to see just any kind of characters that we're familiar with in their younger forms. And I'm fascinated by Dumbledore, so sure, that's great.
Maybe his younger brother and how he started his own business.
Yeah.
At Hogsmeade.
Tending bar.
Yeah.
Getting a loan to open up his own business.
Was that his name? Alferth? Something.
I don't know. Something dumb.
He was mad at Dumbledore because Dumbledore killed his sister.
He blew all his money on some portrait that turned into a back door to Hogwarts.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see Dumbledore kill his sister in this movie, or do you think she's already dead?
Wait, why does he kill his sister?
It's like an accident.
Oh.
Because his sister was... She was special somehow.
What does that mean?
Like, she was, like, quiet, and I think they describe her as special.
Oh. She was a burden on the family, so he murdered her?
Something.
That sounds awful.
I believe it was an accident. I don't believe he murdered her in cold blood. I think that he was showing off for Grindelwald or something like that.
I bet you she saw what he and Grindelwald were doing naked, and it was a faux pas, and so he silenced her.
Ooh.
Forever.
When there were four wands going. Uh-huh. Hey-o!
Hey-o! This is an offensive story, Dave.
It is. This podcast is off to the races.
We're already starting in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, we got news today that that Yates and co are going to be casting a young Dumbledore for the second of the five planned films, probably to continue through the whole franchise. We know that Johnny Depp actually has a cameo in the first Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him, and that he'll have a larger part in subsequent films. So is it possible that Johnny Depp is going to be Dumbledore? And how much would that be terrible, Justin?
I don't think I would like that one bit. Maybe he's somebody else entirely. I'm hoping he's somebody else entirely. You had mentioned off the air that he might be Grindelwald. And
yeah,
I think I'm more okay with that.
Yeah. But you, yeah, Randy, you love Dumbledore.
I do, but it might be like crossing the streams. I'd almost rather have somebody, not necessarily unknown, but maybe somebody not as iconic as Johnny Depp.
Yeah. It's hard to see these super mega A-listers in roles like this, because then you just take them for what they are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. But I mean, just think, I mean, Potter's been, you know, they've been good about taking big names and, you know, kind of letting them have free reign to their characters, you know, like we had, you know, Alan Rickman was Snape. We had Gary Oldman. We had
right, but it tends to be big deals in, you know, British cinema. You know, they always get the hot stuff overseas across the pond. It would be weird to have a new, you know, a popular American face in this universe.
Like Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Is this the return of Colin Farrell?
Even that seems kind of weird, just seeing him. I don't know. It's you have to step out of your comfort zone for a little bit, I guess, for this movie. Maybe I'm not prepared to do that. I've always been, you know, it's almost like I treat it like a foreign film in some way. Because, you know, you don't see these people on a daily basis. You see them every now and again. So it's weird to see sort of an everyday face. I get that Colin Farrell isn't an American or anything, but he's playing one in the show.
I play one on TV.
So it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, the originals, I mean, they were fronted by three kids who no one had any idea who they were until they became Ron, Hermione, and Harry. So
right.
I hear what you're saying. Now we got an Academy Award winner playing the main character in Eddie Redmayne. Jolly enough guy, I guess.
And what is this movie even about? Because the trailer only shows that he loses his beasts, but apparently there's like another thing going on. There's like a secret war going on. Who knows? Because the trailer doesn't give us jack shit to go off of, other than this guy is irresponsible, an irresponsible immigrant that lost his suitcase or the contents inside.
It's just like, is this like a parable to modern-day Syrian refugees? Is there a way of keeping magical folk out?
Right?
Is there a Trump in this movie where they keep the magical people out?
Yeah. What's in the bag? Oh, nothing. I dumped it all when I came ashore. It's bad.
Well, it looks like Colin Farrell plays, I can't remember what they're called, but they're basically people who like hunt down like unregistered witches and stuff like that. So it sounds like there's a war brewing in the North American wizarding world, and that Mr. Scamander is just a pawn in the scheme of what's going on. But
is Colin Farrell, does he want to have this war? Is it like RoboCop in that Star Trek movie where he's trying to start a war with the Klingons?
I believe so, yes. He is the General Chang in this scenario, I believe.
He wants shit to go down, and he's using this as a catalyst to start the fire.
Yeah, that is what we were led to believe from the marketing and the small bit that we've seen.
Okay. Yeah, I know jack shit about this movie, and the trailer doesn't give us anything to go off of. But I don't find it terribly charming. I'm not an eager little beaver to see this movie, Dave, and I think that that's weird. As someone that loves Harry Potter, I love chocolate frogs, I have a Harry Potter wand, I have all the movies, I've seen them 10,000 times, I have zero interest in this movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we've had this conversation before. I'm like, I should be excited for this movie. I love Harry Potter. I love everything about it, but this movie's just not speaking to me. And now I'm even a little more upset, because if they had always planned on having Dumbledore in this series, they really needed to put him front and center, or not, maybe not front and center, but they really needed to have him have a presence in this film. He doesn't have to be the star. It can still be about Newt's commander, but I thought they didn't have him in this film because they didn't want him to be in the franchise. And now that I know he is going to be in the franchise, it's kind of like, this was a big miss. You could have easily had him be the connective tissue before these two franchises, and people would have been much more accepting of the franchise.
I think that everyone's in the same boat as us, so then they said, no. We're going to add Dumbledore to make you better, you know? I think that's what happened.
Oh, in this one?
Yeah. I think they made this movie, and everyone's like, I don't really give a shit. And then there's whispers in the dark, and then they're like, no, Dumbledore. Well, how are we going to make this movie better? And someone's like, Dumbledore, motherfucker. DMF! And then now it's forever changed.
Yeah. Motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Maybe, Randy, you excited for this movie?
Don't do it.
You're in the same boat. Like, you'll see it almost out of like a chore and a misguided...
I'll see it out of a misguided sense of loyalty to Harry Potter. But who knows? Maybe it'll tickle my fancy.
Oh, shit.
But, it's going
to... What kind of theaters are you going to? They don't have those kind of movie theaters around here anymore.
To me, it seems like it's going to feel like work. Just like Doctor Strange, which I didn't see.
I did not see it,
but yeah. I'm a little burnt out. I'm a little burnt out on Marvel movies, so it would have felt like a chore, so I just opted out.
Are you? You're burnt out on Marvel movies?
Yeah.
I can tell you that there's a part in the movie where the sky, shit's falling from the sky again. Every fucking movie these days, there's crap in the sky. And that's just how it works.
Was there a scene where a giant blast of energy shot from the Earth into the sky?
Yeah, something like that.
That's the big Marvel thing. But are you sick of Marvel movies or comic movies? Because the only other Marvel movie we had this year was freaking Captain America. So is it just comic book movies? You've now reached that saturation point?
All of the above. I'll take it out on Marvel because it's what's in front of me right now. But, I mean, it's the same reason why I never want to go see Batman v Superman either.
Oh, man, was that this year, too?
Yeah, March 25th.
We had Deadpool, and we had Batman v Superman, and we had Civil War, and we had Suicide Squad, and we had Doctor Strange?
And Doctor Strange, yeah.
Man, that's a lot.
Yeah, and a couple of them are good.
I think Wonder Woman's the best one. We haven't even got to that part yet.
Yeah, hopefully that one, that's kind of... We'll see how that does. That one's still going to have the fingerprints of Mr. Snyder on it, so we'll see how it turns out. You know, him and his wife are still executive producers. They still got story by credits as the world building. I don't think we're going to see a movie without Snyder's fingerprints on it, so we get Aquaman. And that'll be
Aquaman!
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about X-Men, Randy? You like the X-Men movies, right?
I do.
You like comics, right?
I do.
What's Chris Claremont talking about, bitching about Marvel?
I don't know. You tell me. You brought it up.
So you called me, dude. Yeah, so Chris Claremont, who wrote...
that X-Men Willow book.
Years, he did write the Willow book. He wrote three of those fucking train wrecks.
Wait, like books or comics?
Books, novels.
Okay, because I actually have the Willow comics.
Hmm.
Have you not heard of the Willow books, Randy?
No, I didn't know they existed. I know this is a tangent. I apologize, but this is important.
He wrote three books. I bought them because Justin's buddy, who we won't name, told me how great they were, and I got it. And is Laura Dannon? Is that the little kid?
Yeah.
Dies like five pages. Oh, no, she lives.
She doesn't. Her whole family dies. Yeah.
Mad Mardigan dies. Sorsha dies. Everyone you love from the book, or from the movie, dies. And then she becomes this, like, super C-word.
Yeah, I think I think like a meteor hits or something. There's some cataclysm, some ELE, an extinction level event.
Easy.
Ruins the day.
ELE. Can't believe he just put it deep in.
Shut it. Hey, they even mentioned it in that one movie where Tom Hanks saves the world. What's it called? Where he's like Dan Brown, and he goes around and he...
Oh, Inferno?
Yeah, they say an extinction-level event in the trailer for that.
I was going to say, you saw Inferno?
No, that just triggered the memory. The trailer triggered the memory of Deep Impact, which is why I was able to add it
of
today.
Of Tiglioni talking to James Cromwell about Ellie.
Mm-hmm. One of the few movies where he's not a bad guy. Who knew?
That or Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
And about Babe. It. I think Babe counts.
He's kind of a dick in Babe.
We'll kind of a dick in Star Trek, too.
Yeah. Zephyr Cochran.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Chris Claremont.
Chris Claremont, who wrote X-Men for 15 years, did most of the runs that we all know and love. You know, the Days of Future Past. You know, he was the main reason Wolverine's popular, Dark Phoenix, all that nonsense. He was being interviewed at a recent comic book convention, and he had some not nice things to say about the Fox Cinematic Universe, saying that the reason that X-Men comics weren't the premier comic book in the world anymore were because Marvel's just not interested in making them good anymore because they don't have the film rights, and they're more interested in pushing the properties from which they can also push films. You know, your Thor's, Iron Man's, Captain America's, Hulk's, etc. So does that hold water with you, Randy? You think Marvel's purposely not so much tanking, but not really focusing on that because they don't care because they're not getting movie money out of it? Or is that just another, or is another one of our comic icons, like Frank Miller and Alan Moore, are they just getting old and crazy?
Bit of grapes.
Well, I think maybe it's a combination of both. I think maybe they are reading more into it than is actually there. But at the same time, knowing Disney such as I do, it wouldn't surprise me if they were very... well, let's just call it for what it is. If they're very greedy with Marvel, and they're really only putting their A-squad on what's going to turn around the biggest bucks, which is going to be the movies, not the comics.
Remember Cyclops?
I remember Cyclops. But the thing about... I mean, X-Men, I guess the name sells itself. I think that that's fair. At least with comic books. I'm always interested in what the X-Men are up to. But I also think it would be naive to think that Disney wouldn't, you know, put money... Since they're putting money into publishing this, or at least Marvel anyway, is putting an effort into making the comic books, they gotta make it somewhat decent. Otherwise, they'd just be pissing their money away, and they don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, X-Men is, you know, according to September 2016 numbers, you know, X-Men is still one of the most popular books for Marvel. It was in, like, the mid-40,000s, which is on par with, like, Iron Man, Captain America. Thor was a little bit higher, because everyone just jerks off to Thor right now, because it's so good. But all the rest, like, Hulk was, like, 20-something, and everyone else kind of filtered down. But I don't know if you guys remember a couple, like maybe like a year or so ago, there was a leaked memo from Marvel about how the reason they were going to cancel the Fantastic Four run, because right now there's no Fantastic Four comic out, was to kind of stick it to Fox, and that they were going to put a moratorium on creating new X-Men because they didn't want Marvel to reap the benefits of their creative process. You guys remember that? And you think maybe Mr. Claremont finally got a copy of that, and that's what he's basing it off of?
Maybe.
Sounds plausible.
I don't know, man. I think... I don't know. And maybe I'm the naive one, but I just feel like the mouse likes money, and it seems silly to cut that out. I mean, even like Toys to Life, right? All the Disney Infinity, that was like the number one selling thing. Everyone loved these fucking figures, and they still shut it down because it wasn't making enough money. It was making money. It was turning a profit, just not enough to continue pumping resources into it. So that mentality right there tells me that they are in this for the dollars. So it seems absurd to think that way about Disney to me.
Right, especially because they paid $4 billion for Marvel. You think they want to eke out every cent they could. I mean, they've obviously made their money back with just the cinematic universe. But, I mean, you know, comics and licensing is still a huge part. And sure, they're not getting the money off the movie. But, I mean, let's just think about that realistically. You know, they're going to make an X-Men movie. Let's just say they pump them out every 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, every 2 years, if they make in that $700 million sweet spot that Marvel seems to like, you're making about $300 million a year, every 2 years. That's $150 million a year you're making off of this film. You're going to tell me they're not making $150 million off of comics and merchandise for X-Men?
Hmm, I would think so. Maybe they spent all this money just to buy Marvel so they could pull the plug on Fantastic Four because they suck so goddamn bad.
Well, if that's the case, Disney deserves a medal, a parade, and a day off of school.
They're just like, you know what? Fuck those guys. They are the worst.
People love the Fantastic Four, man. I don't.
I like Johnny Storm.
And which one?
It. I like the character.
you know which Will Johnny I like?
Play to save.
Which Johnny you like, Randy?
I like Johnny Rico.
Oh, shit.
We're too slow for Randy today.
Dude, today is the 19th anniversary of Starship Troopers.
Hell yeah.
I tweeted to Mr. Casper Van Dien about that, and he actually liked my tweet.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I said, happy 19th anniversary to Starship Troopers. It's still my favorite movie. The only good bug is a dead bug. # Rico's Roughnecks.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he liked it. Oh, dang.
Nice. So you excited for the prospect of a reboot of the franchise?
I am not.
Oh.
unless, let's just pretend for a second. I'm always a fan of just a cold hard reboot and not really involving anyone else that was previously involved. But perhaps it would be fun if Mr. Casper Van Dien had a cameo of sorts. Maybe even like the Clancy Brown drill sergeant Zim kind of role, you know? But I would be okay if he was not involved in any way, shape, or form, because I don't like the idea of this movie. Unless it was closer to the source material, perhaps. Obviously, the movie that I know and love has deviated quite a bit, but I'm okay with that. To me, it
you
never...
You and I...
What?
No, go ahead. So you and I—you must be reading my mind. I was about to tell you that no one from the original production, including Paul Verhoeven, who directed it, are currently involved in the prospect, and that they want this to be a franchise starter that's more akin to the actual novel as opposed to the awesomeness that was the movie. I love the book, but it could not be more diametrically opposed, and it's great. And I keep emailing it to you guys, and you guys are like, "Fuck, I don't read books," but I'm like, "You gotta read this book. It's like 200 pages, and it's amazing."
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I'm going to email it to you again tonight.
But it doesn't have Casper Van Dien in the book.
Sure it does.
It has some asshole.
It's got Juan Rico, and you can just picture Mr. Van Dien.
I could do that, technically. I have quite the imagination. A shirtless Van Dien. Yeah.
Ooh. Obviously.
Yeah.
Why would you put a shirt on someone like that?
He was Tarzan, you know.
He certainly was. He was Tarzan. What do you think, Randy? Are you excited for a Starship Troopers reboot?
Yeah, I'd like to see something that is a little bit more faithful to the book. Granted, I haven't read the book, but I've heard it's amazing. And I know that the movie that came out in the 90s was kind of a farce compared to the book. Granted, a beautiful farce that I enjoyed wholeheartedly for all of its cheese. I'm definitely excited to see what the future holds for that. Because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, the sequels that were made after the original, even the one where Casper Van Dien came back, they weren't that good. Easy. So it's
time. Marauders isn't good?
I'm just saying it's time to see what somebody else can do with it. And I know that might be sacrilege, and I apologize if that's the case, but I just want to see more Starship Troopers.
It is such a ridiculously good movie. just that. Would you like to know?
The Federation needs you.
It's like the kid just stomping the ball. We're doing our part.
I know. Everyone was just so happy to go to war. It was great.
Think of the Germans in World War II. Yeah. It's amazing.
It really is. Damn it. That movie's awesome. Fucking love it. And Charlie Sheen's ex-wife is in it.
Denise Richards?
Yeah.
Yeah, she sure is. She doesn't lose her top like the other girl.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
She dies, you know.
Does. Carmen makes it. Her boyfriend, not so much.
Oh, yeah, he gets the brain bug, sucks out his brain.
That's fine, it works that way.
The brain bug sucks out the brain. Crazy.
Yeah.
I like it when on the talk show and the guy's like, frankly, I find the idea of a bug that thinks offensive. It's fantastic. Oh, so good.
Son of a bitch. You guys watching Westworld?
No. I'm sleeping through it, man. That show fucking puts me to sleep every week. It's so good. It's good, but it just, I don't know if it's a pacing thing or what, but there has not been an episode that I have made it from start to finish without falling asleep. I'm talking to people at work, too, and they're having the same problem I am, where we like the show, we just can't make it through it on the first time through. It's got to be watched a couple of times because we keep passing out.
Yeah, I read a bunch of crazy theories today, and then one of the theories was talking about whatever the third Hemsworth brother. I always forget his name, and I was instantly reminded, like, oh yeah, that is Chris Hemsworth's brother. He's he's like the security guard who like goes into Westworld with the one lady. He's like the guy who wanted to like write the story that Anthony Hopkins told him. No.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the third third Hemsworth brother.
Jesus.
They're all beautiful.
They're multiplying. They're like Bebe's kids.
Wow.
We don't die. We multiply. Going deep cut there. Little Robin Harris there.
Yeah. Is it Luke Hemsworth?
Sure. Looks like a Luke. We'll go with that.
Yeah, it's Luke.
Nice.
I looked it up.
Hey, Randy, did you buy that Force Awakens Super Mega Ultra 3D Blu-ray set that'll be obsolete as soon as Episode 9 comes out and they release a Super Mega Ultra Blu-ray collection?
I did not, because I was not in a race for obsolescence.
That's fantastic, Randy. Now I can't even respond to that. It was so beautiful. The words come out of your mouth. What about this commentary? Randy Abrams said some shit. You know what he said? Talked about the other day. You should know, unless you're not paying attention to me.
No, I do know. He dropped a little bomb about Kylo Ren and Rey. He says Kylo Ren has never met Rey before, but he knows of her, which is why he loses his shit when he hears of a girl. What girl?
What about the girl? She can throw.
What's that show, Pitch?
The Rebels have a dodgeball team.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that guy's dead.
Scratch him off then. So wait, who is she now? She's Palpatine's daughter?
No, she's nobody's daughter.
She's
her own person.
Oh my god, there was no father.
She's a clone of Anakin.
Yeah. Pass.
She's a female Anakin clone.
Well, if we're talking about clones, then clearly she came from Jango.
Jango!
No, this one's just with a J.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah, he's not as cool.
It is not.
Hmm. That's interesting. So do you think that there was a monkey wrench in a lot of the fan theories, Randy, about like who her parents might be? You would think if she were Luke's child, then they would have had interactions.
One of the most popular fan theories right now is the fact that Rey had begun some sort of force training when she was very young, like younger than we saw her when she was dropped off and abandoned in Jakku in her little force flashback. There are many of those who would think that that Luke was training her, and you know, regardless of who her parents were, whether it was Luke or someone else, that she had some sort of contact with the Jedi. Now, being that supposedly Kylo Ren and his Knights of Ren wiped out the entire Jedi Academy, they would have had some sort of interaction maybe with Rey. Maybe she would have just barely escaped or something. And who knows? Maybe that's still kind of true from a certain point of view. I don't know. But it does kind of shatter a lot of theories, because now it's intentionally driving a divide between them. It's putting a wall, if you will, up between Kylo Ren and Rey. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where it's going. But I like it. I still think she could be like a grandchild of Obi-Wan. I think that's an interesting fan theory. I don't know. But the whole point of it, though, what I'm getting at is I like not knowing. Again. You know, from a guy who used to be all about the spoilers and reading everything I could voraciously get my hands on, I like kind of not knowing. And it's going to be a little bit of a bummer come next year when we actually find out. Unless they drag it out to episode 9, who knows?
Why does it make sense for someone to drop her off on this shit planet? This war-torn planet?
Because that's what they do with the most powerful Jedi. They pretend they don't need to train them, and that everything will be fine, and then he ends up killing everybody, and they're like, oh shit, we should have saw that coming.
So okay. my go-to answer for that would be, because it's in the middle of nowhere, and you'd think that it would kind of be outside of the sphere of influence of the Empire, or the First Order, or whatever, right? But that's not necessarily the case, because some of the current expanded universe goes on to tell about what a big military installation there was on Jakku. So it wasn't necessarily as backwoods as, say, a Tatooine type of planet. Right. So I don't know why they would have shoved her there. I don't have a good answer.
Well, I mean, Star Wars has always been big on hiding things in plain sight. I mean, he basically gave Luke Skywalker to relatives of Anakin Skywalker, for Christ's sake, at a farm where Anakin buried his dead mother. You know, if Anakin ever, Darth Vader ever decided to get wax sentimental and visit the grave of his mother, he'd be like, hey, I know that kid. Or what the fuck?
The interesting, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought about that a lot too. And I think that is the absolute safest place that Obi-Wan could have hid Luke, because there's no way that Darth Vader is going to go back to the gravesite of his mother.
Right.
I think there is no way he would do that.
And Vader has no idea he has kids. I mean, I guess that's, to be fair, there as well. Because, I mean, they hid Leia in Alderaan, and she became a fucking senator who, like, conceivably passed by Darth Vader hundreds of times in her life without having any, neither of them having any clue that, like, oh, hey, they're related.
Yeah. I have to imagine one of them would have felt something passing each other in a hallway or something, you know?
Just contempt and scorn, because they hate each other. Mm. But so it does bring up an interesting point with Rey, is that someone dropped them off, and they dropped her off there for her own protection. You would think that the safest place for her to be would be to be with Luke Skywalker. Do you think the person that dropped them off is under the impression that Luke Skywalker died at the Jedi Academy, maybe? Or is that just dumb?
Like he fell down an elevator shaft?
Yeah, he's old. I mean,
how do you kill Luke Skywalker?
He fell, he can't get up.
Yeah, you can't kill
Jedi. He is the Bret Hart of the Jedi Order right now. It's the best there was, the best there is, and the best there ever will be.
The person dropping off is just ill-informed. He's not really dead.
I don't know. I think they fucked up, and they're going to try and figure out a way to fix it.
Maybe it's Kylo's kid.
Right.
Mom had it in secret.
Yeah.
And it's Tennel Ka, and it's just like in the books, and she only has one arm, and her lightsaber hilt is a Rancor tooth.
Oh, shit.
I get behind that. It's not going to happen, but I get behind it. Mm. Get behind it like Wonder Woman, Randy. You love that trailer, don't you?
Fantastic.
You love your period pieces.
I love periods.
Ah, you made it dirty. Justin, yes. What did you think of the trailer?
I liked it a lot. I liked the George of the Jungle music at the end. When it shows the Wonder Woman logo. And I like, I like the little lady that is wearing the hat. That's sort of like the
secretary.
She's like the comic relief of the movie. I think she's just a little delight.
Yes, I like you. All right, Randy, come out of your corner. You can talk again.
No, I'm done.
Aww. What?
I retire.
Aww.
Retire?
You retire like the champ?
Yeah, I retire undefeated with my big champion belt. No, like I said, I mean, I do enjoy a good period piece, and I have to admit, Wonder Woman does look really cool. I like that time period a whole lot. But again, I'm still feeling that fatigue for superhero movies, so hopefully it'll wear off by the time that movie comes out.
Yeah, I think this one will feel different, I think that's kind of the thing it has going for it. It is a period piece that has a different feel. It at this point doesn't seem like it's like an earth-ending event, which is kind of, I think, what we're all sick of. So, you know, we'll have to see.
I don't know. There's going to be Nazi... Oh, no, is this World War One stuff?
Yeah, they're just regular Germans under the Kaiser.
Ugh, bunch of pussies.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. It's her saying, oh, wait, this is our world. We have to save it. That's what we're put here for. And then she's going to go kick some man ass.
Ooh.
Man.
He's a man.
Yeah. I mean, she's barely in Batman v Superman, but the parts that she was there, she blew everyone away. It's fantastic. And I think we need more Wonder Woman.
I agree. It
looks like this one was done right. I mean, trailers can be misleading, but so far, I like what I'm seeing.
Plus, how can you not like Chris Pine? Mm. He's just likable. Mm. So likable son of a bitch.
I like him, you know, in that movie. Likeable? I like him in that movie when he's riding trains with Denzel Washington.
Do you? I don't think you do.
That was pretty good.
I don't know. Uh-huh. Hey, you remember Mans Raider from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, what's he
the
up to?
The actor who played Mans Raider. He signed on and has filmed photography on the character of Steppenwolf in Justice League, the main villain of the film.
What?
So that's kind of cool. He's a cool character actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff, and I think that he will do a good job as the villain. Of course, Steppenwolf can only mean that they are definitely preparing us for a Darkseid encounter in the third film, or hopefully at the end of the second film. And I just thought that would be excited. I didn't know if either of you cared. If you knew anything about Steppenwolf, if you knew anything about Mans Raider slash, I think it's like, yeah, I'm not going to butcher that name. Kieran Hinds? Mr. Hinds.
Edit.
Usually it's the last name to fuck you up. This time it's the first name.
No, yeah, that's fine. No, I don't know jack shit about him.
Yeah.
And
Google it.
And I'm cool with that. I like to be surprised.
We'll all Wikipedia it later. A man we don't need to Wikipedia is Justin's favorite filmmaker, Mr. Max Landis. Justin,
oh,
you love Max Landis, right?
Yeah, I do. And you just told me that he is remaking An American Werewolf in London, which is...
How exciting.
That is great. Maybe he can get some notes from his daddy, since his daddy made the original one.
Seems a bit like nepotism to me.
Yeah. It's not who you know in Hollywood, it's who knows you.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
That's not where I thought that statement was going to be.
I thought it was something that rhymed with nose, but I was going to...
Nose? That don't rhyme with walls.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Max Landis is going to write and direct it, and The Walking Dead's David Alpert and Robert Kirkman are going to produce it.
Oh, shit.
So that's interesting, and I think that John Landis is going to stay on as some form of producer. And Matt Smith is a different Matt Smith, I think, though. Never mind, I'll skip that part. I'm like, Matt Smith?
The doctor?
Yeah, I just read an article on Matt Smith, and I thought this was the same article, but it's not. It's a different Matt Smith. Imagine that. Another person named Matt Smith. No. What a surprise.
Impossible.
So yeah, what are your thoughts on this, Justin? Does the movie need to be made? Is it kind of it cool that it's being made by his son, or kind of?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really care for Max Landis too much. I'm sure he's a fine young man. Shared an elevator with him once.
Was he a fine young man in said elevator ride?
He was talking, but I wasn't really wanting to listen to what he was saying. But yeah, why not? Fine young man, uptown all the way. I just, I mean, I like Miracle, or, is that what it's called? What was the movie where?
Chronicle,
yeah.
Miracle's the hockey movie.
I like that one a lot. That one's even better.
Plays Herb.
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But no, I liked Chronicle. It had, the one guy, that takes on Spider-Man.
Oh, never mind.
In Spider-Man. There you go. But no, I am okay with horror movies being rebooted to death. I don't really care about that. That's just one of those things where horror movies are always so dated, and kids can't appreciate them. So it's always cool for them to be updated so the younger audience can enjoy them. But for me, like, comedy, I feel is more timeless, whereas, or at least it should be. The good ones are. But fucking horror can be rebooted to death, and I could care less. I'll always watch them, and I'll always enjoy them.
Nice. Randy, you love... This movie has to be right up your wheelhouse, the original at least. Do you have any strong feelings on American Werewolf in London? It's your time frame, your money spot. What
it's
do you
true.
Say?
You know, I have a special connection to the movie because the copy of Star Wars that I have from my childhood was recorded from HBO back in like 1983 when Star Wars made its cable debut. And before and after the movie, there were advertisements for an American Werewolf in London. Nice. But you know what? I've never seen the movie. That's as much as I've ever seen of it. So I have a certain sentimentality just for the idea of the movie, but I could not tell you. I hear it's really good and the practical effects are amazing in it. And it really kind of changed the genre, but I don't know. What I do know is that Max Landis rubs me the wrong way. Mm-hmm. The two interactions that we've had with him, he has shown himself to be a right proper cunt. So I would rather not ever have to face-to-face meet that guy. But I will say he's talented. He's a talented C-word. So you know what? Maybe he'll make a good movie. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will.
Just yeah, that's a problem. You spend like 2 seconds with him, and you're like, "Oh man, this guy's fucking brilliant." And I think it's because he knows it. But yeah, American Werewolf in London. You talked about the practical effects. You know, Rick Baker. You know, he won an Oscar for American Werewolf in London, and it kind of became like the iconic stuff that actually John Landis used again when he directed the Thriller music video for Michael Jackson. Do you think that this movie, you know, we're obviously going to go CG because that's just how you save money and stuff like that. Do you think that people are going to look down upon this because this was such a practical effects, you know, iconic film? It will be like sacrilege, Randy, to go CGI with it?
I don't think so. I think it's just the way of today, you know. Back then, they used the state-of-the-art techniques that they had at their disposal, and now they're going to do the same thing. And you can't poo-poo on technology.
Right. I mean, if that's cute, Randy, but like if you use the Jungle Book, you know, that showed us that a fake tiger could scare the shit out of you and attack a little boy. So if we have that kind of awesome production value put into this movie, then it could easily be.
If we're talking about badass looking fake CGI tigers, let's talk about that on a TV budget and look at Walking Dead.
Yeah, but that and tiger granted, didn't it wasn't do on anything. Screen.
I know, granted, it wasn't on screen for very long, but it looked goddamn good on a TV budget. Hmm. So, I mean, anything's possible.
I'm glad you brought up The Walking Dead, Randy. I tried watching another episode, and what's this show about? Like what is the goal of the group of survivors? Are they trying to go someplace? Like, do they have a plan?
Right now, there's no plan. Well, like this season currently, there really is no plan other than survive and try to get out from under Negan's thumb.
Was there a plan last season? Did they have a plan then?
Yeah. Well,
like, are they trying to get somewhere?
Yeah.
No, they pretty much already were somewhere, and it's just a matter of fortifying that, finding food, finding this, finding that. They were kind of happy and kind of complacent in a way, and that's why things needed to get shaken up the way they did at the end of last season, and ostensibly the beginning of this season. So big things had to happen because they were too comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I missed a couple seasons. I remember when I was watching it when I was a couple years ago, and it just seemed like it was like every week, let's just see how shitty we can make their lives. And
yeah,
well, once I made it to Alexandria, then it was trying to find a sense of normalcy in a way, but then also, you know, survival, but then protecting what was theirs. And then their last season was kind of broken up. You know, there was a lot of episodes that dealt with individual characters, or the group would get split up and it would focus on two characters and three characters and five characters, whatever. It would just focus on a group of the week. And then everything was happening at once, but you were seeing what was going on with each character, where they were at the time of an event, right?
Like Boomtown.
Exactly. You shot a 6-year-old. What's wrong with you? Yeah, but now, obviously, it is, Negan is here to stay. He's a bad dude, and everyone has to contribute to his betterment. And, I don't know. Last week's episode Negan... was awful. It was Carol and Morgan, and I couldn't be less interested.
Did you guys watch this week's episode?
Yeah, this one was a Daryl one.
Yeah.
Should have been promising. So I mean, they had the governor, and now they have the worst governor, which is Negan. Where do they go from Negan? Like, so they're obviously going to thwart Negan. You know, maybe not this season, but in relatively near future. Like, I'm just having trouble finding like where the show goes.
I don't know.
Just seems kind of like edging.
I can't imagine the show going on forever. This is season 7.
Uh-huh.
I 7 is my magic number for shows. I don't think that a series needs to go on much further than that. I don't like it when they get into like season 9, season 12, season fucking 15, or whatever the hell ER ended up with.
But you love Grey's Anatomy. I mean, they're in season 13.
There you go. A show just runs its course, and it's time to end it.
The Simpsons just got renewed for 2 more seasons. It'll be season 29 and 30.
But that's, yeah,
it'll be the longest running narrative show of all time.
That's Simpsons. The normal rules don't apply to the Simpsons. They go off into space. They go to other planets. They got all kinds of weird shit going on. The time isn't a factor on that show.
Yeah. Except they've had 30 Christmases.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Like, I watched Simpsons as a kid. Now my kids watch Simpsons as a kid. So it's just interesting that, you know, we're a generation apart, but the show has had such longevity that it is able for my kids to watch the programming I watched.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. It's cray-cray. Sorry, I didn't mean to tangent everybody with the Walking Dead. I was just not jiving on it. So it was like misery porn.
I'm ready for it to end. I don't think it needs to go on much further.
I agree.
I like it when we all agree. Never happens, but I like it.
But I mean, I'm sorry, real quick. You know, they are only 16 episode seasons. I think the earlier seasons were even less than that. So like, the first season was like, what, 6 episodes? Second season might be like 12. So they have a lot more.
Yeah, now they do the split.
Yeah, now they do this whole split thing, so I don't know. Seasons are a weird number for them too.
Yeah, I agree. That was it. Well, anything else you guys got, Randy, Justin? Anything you want to add?
Just watch chat about. Watch Starship Troopers if you haven't. It's amazing. 19 years strong.
Fantastic. And if you don't have it, eBay or Amazon.
And today is the 7th, but in 2 days, it'll be my mama's birthday, and I love her so much.
Happy birthday to Mama Cavender.
Yeah.
It'll also be Chung's birthday and Chris Jericho, the wrestler's birthday, and TV's Double Dare's Scott Summers or Steven Summers, something Summers, the host.
Oh, yeah. His
birthday as well, yeah.
And I think
we're going to have a giant birthday episode next week.
Yeah.
And Halo 2 came out on November 9th, 2004.
Yeah.
It did. Good call.
Coming in at the best buy on Chapman. Waiting in line. It's the first time I actually drank a Red Bull, too, because the Red Bull truck was there, and they came out for Red Bulls. Oh. Also, the day I realized I don't like Red Bulls.
Yeah. Same here on both counts.
Funny how that works.
Only Red Bull.
Yeah.
I got a quick plug.
Plug it, Randy.
All right. So our fantastic little film, Nonstop to Comic-Con, is going to the Sunshine State, Florida, at the Paradise City Comic-Con with the Super Geek Film Festival in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, December 9th through 11th, 2016. Keep your eyes peeled on nonstoptocomiccon.com or our Facebook page for the exact screening date and time.
Oh, shit.
I like it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Woot, woot. Should be fun. Tell
us. It's cool. It's a state we haven't played in yet, so we're knocking another one off the map.
That's right. We only play in new states from now on.
Brand new.
Looking to you, Montana.
Puerto Rico. That'll be a state sooner or later.
We don't do territories.
I think when I was in fifth grade, they were like, oh, yeah, Puerto Rico, that's going to be a state.
They were like, well, 50 stars is just such a nice, nice round number. With a Puerto Rico in, we're going to have to combine the Dakotas into one Dakota. And you know, who's got, ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope, zero.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for chatting with me today, guys. It was a great show. I hope you guys, everyone liked it out there. Make sure if you did like it, tell your friends about it. Maybe show us some love on the iTunes. Give us a review, a rating. It really does help other people find the podcast. Also, listen to our other podcasts. You know, we have the Comic Corner podcast with Jeff and Tyler, where they talk about all those funny picture books. And like Justin was mentioning earlier, Reboot is really in its infancy, so it's a great time to get into comics. And then, of course, there's the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and with Steven. And they love each other, and they're going to talk all about cool stuff and video games. But, yeah, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or the other way around. And go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. Later.